do the switch.
Y'all hear me okay? All right, good morning. You guys doing all right? It's not too early. We're all awake. Good. You can open up your Bibles to Ephesians. The junior hires are like, nope, just want to be in bed still, but good to see you guys. I did a little bit of junior high ministry when I was here a few years ago with Justin, so it's cool to see you guys here. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. As Bud mentioned, my name is Jacob Klebe. I am married to a beautiful wife. Her name is Noelle. And Grace, unfortunately, I think Grace wasn't really interested in being up here. I was hoping to let you guys all introduce you to them. But anyway, they'll be in the back in the lobby later after service if you want to see them. But God has sent me and my family to Nairobi, Kenya. As I mentioned, or actually Bud mentioned, I grew up in Paradise and went to church here for a few years. Lord called me to Bible college, stirred my heart for missions, and sent me up to Oregon and then out to Kenya. So that's a real brief version of how the Lord has gotten us to Nairobi. What I do there is just simply teaching the Bible. That's what I enjoy to do, and I get to minister to pastors, to elders and teachers. So it's such a privilege to be there. A lot of these guys coming from rural areas, maybe they have a 7th or 8th grade level of education, some a little bit more, some a little bit less, but they come to the school and they've maybe never read the book of Romans. In fact, recently when I taught through the book of Romans, I just, we had about a class of 25, and I said, hey, how many of you guys have actually just simply read through the book of Romans? Well, like 3 or 4 guys raised their hands. Just thought, oh my goodness, here's leaders, here's pastors who are to be leading the church and yet haven't read such a foundational book. And so it's really on my heart, that's where the Lord has us, to be ministering to these guys the Word of God. And that's really what Kenya needs. That's what we need in our own lives, isn't it? Is just that simple teaching of God's Word to help us to walk in the way that God's called us to walk, to lead the church in the way that God desires it. We need His Word. And so, a real privilege to be there. I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you to so many of you who have been praying for our family, who have been encouraging us, who have been supporting us financially. Honestly, we could not do what we do there in Kenya without this body. And it's just so special to be able to come back. And last week, my wife and I came, and so many of you guys just give us a big bear hug. And so we love you guys. That just means so much. We tried to sneak in all stealthily, hopefully no one would recognize us, and it was like, no. I guess I kind of stick out a little bit, I don't know. But anyway, thank you guys, and just appreciate you so much, and it's been a joy. We've been here in Chico for a little over a week now, and I just love it. It's so great to be, back home, one of our many homes. And anyway, so I often get asked, what's daily life like in Kenya? And I try to explain it, and, well, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I've got a real short video that will just give you an idea of our family there, what it's kind of like for us, and you'll see a little bit more about the Bible college and such. So we'll go ahead and roll the video, and hope you guys enjoy.
Sing, boy, sing.
mama, ne no itasi mama, na uli mengu ya tapita, lakini ne no itasi mama,
na sema
ne no itasi mama, ne no itasi mama.
Hopefully that gives you a little bit better idea of kind of life in Kenya. And who wants to go? Anybody? Anyone doing? Yeah, a few people. Some people, you know, the wives are grabbing the husband's hands. No, no. Maybe vice versa. I don't know. Yeah, it's awesome, and we're happy to be there, and just really enjoy it. One of the things that God has really put in my heart, something that's really changed me, is the teaching of God's grace. That's what really has impacted my life. As I went to, well, started at this church and went to Bible school, it's like God just did open heart surgery in me and really changed me as I experienced. It was almost like being born again, at seeing His grace, His love for me. And that is really, it's something that I think any time I teach, I hope and pray is the flavor of what's being taught. And today we're going to look and see God's grace. And what is grace? Well, it's simply God doing it. God saying, I'm gonna do this. I will, you know, do such and such. And then God fulfilling that. That's what really grace is. When God makes a promise to you and to me, and then He fulfills it, it's God at work in our lives. It's God taking us from where we're at as lost people, saving us, and then, not just saving us, but then making us more like Jesus Christ. That's what grace does. Not just for salvation, but for sanctification, that is, being made more like Jesus. It's a work of God. It's not by my strength, it's not by my power that sanctification is accomplished. It is a work of God. It is something that God does in our lives as we humbly trust in Him. And this is something that is often missing there in Kenya. And it's why I'm so passionate about it. I mean, frankly, it's often missing in our churches here in America as well. But just the reality of God and what He wants to do in us and through us by His grace. And recently I was teaching through the book of Hebrews, and it was so cool because that book is so much about God's grace. It's all about how Jesus is better, and what Jesus offers is God's grace to us. And so as I was teaching through and comparing, you know, works and our effort versus God's grace and the work by His Spirit, really contrasting these two things and teaching, as I was doing that, a student came up to me after class and just said, man, this is really new. I've not quite heard this before. And he said, you know, I'm a pastor up in northern Kenya, and I haven't really been teaching this. I've really been putting more pressure on people to do more, to do this and do that, and making a big long list of do's and don'ts versus this relationship with God by faith, you know, as we receive His grace. There's a big difference. And he was just saying, this is new, and man, I want to go, and I want to teach this as well. So I was jumping for joy, you know, praise God. And as you see lives transformed, as people get into what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, as it sinks in, as it takes root, and not only through salvation, but then growth, oh man, it is exciting to watch. And I hope and pray that this morning, as we get into our text here in Ephesians, God is just going to minister to your hearts His grace, what He's done for each and every believer here, and those who aren't believers, what God He's made available for you, and you can receive it and have it by faith, by simply trusting that Jesus Christ came, He died for your sins upon the cross, He rose again to show victory over death, and by faith in Him, your sins are washed away. That is available to you this morning. And all of God's blessings are available to us this morning. So, Ephesians, I taught through this recently as well, and it just really struck me. I used to struggle a lot with Ephesians because there's a lot of big theological words, and I just struggled a bit, but Ephesians is such a rich book. It's like the book that takes us this morning here on earth, and it brings us up into heavenly places. That's what we want to do right now, is to take our eyes off of, you know, the earth here and bring up our spiritual eyes up to heaven. To see Jesus Christ afresh and anew. To see God the Father. How good He is. How much He loves you. What He's blessed you with. And Ephesians is just that spiritual book. And the key verse is found in chapter 1, verse 3. So if you would, look with me. Verse 3 of chapter 1, it begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the what places?" Heavenly places. Very good. You guys did better than first service. Apparently you've all got your coffee ready to go. Heavenly places, right? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And really, this verse is, Paul goes on to explain that, really, that single verse for the rest of the book. He's talking about all the blessings that God has blessed us with, all that God has done for us. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul then begins to explain the practical working out of this in our lives. In other words, chapters 1, 2, and 3 lay the foundation of how you and I relate to God and God's grace. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are a manifestation of chapters 1, 2, and 3 in our lives. If you've ever wanted to, you know, have a better marriage, love your wife more, you know, ladies, submitting to your husbands, you know, making marriage work biblically, if you've wanted that in your life, loving your neighbor, raising your children, there's so much practical information in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. However, if we just skip over chapters 1, 2, and 3, those things aren't going to work out very well. We can try in our own strength, but until we get what God has given us, until we have that foundation in our lives of these first three chapters, we will not experience chapters 4, 5, and 6 in our lives. So this is key, this is critical, understanding what God has blessed us with in Jesus Christ in these heavenly places. And this is so important for the church, man. This morning, I don't know what you're going through. Whether you're blessed, whether you're stressing out over something, physically, relationally, financially, I don't know. However, I do know this, that what God has for you this morning is hope in His Word. And He wants to encourage you. He wants to show you afresh and anew what He's done for you. Well, we read that He's blessed us with these spiritual blessings. And it's like God was in heaven and He was going through the storehouses of heaven and just saying, man, I'm going to bless them with this. And I want to bless them with this. And I want to bless them with this. And it's like He sent it all in this wonderful package in Jesus Christ. He sent us His Son, every spiritual blessing that is in His Son. And notice this. Notice who has blessed us. It's past tense. It doesn't say who is going to bless us or who will bless us, but He has done it. It's accomplished. In other words, everything that we need for life and for godliness has already been given to us. God cannot give you anything more than what He's already given us. His Son, His Spirit, these spiritual blessings, they've been given to us. Now here's the thing though, we need to experience them more in our lives. They've been given to us, but now we need to experience it more. We need to walk in the reality of this. And you know, as Christians, if our eyes are on earthly things, you're going to have a disappointed and frustrated life. It's going to be hard, especially as a Christian. If we're so focused on this, you know, and all our problems, and I know they're real. I know struggles are, they're tough. But here's the thing. As real as those problems are, so is the truth of God's Word. It's sure. It's eternal. And it addresses those issues in our lives. And the Lord wants to say, hey, lift up your eyes and see what I've given you, what I've done for you. Spiritual blessings. In Africa, we've got a lot of problems. Kenya, we've got a lot of problems. And people say, what do you think? You know, what's the biggest problem? And it's like, everything's the biggest problem. I don't know. There's so many things that I drive by that I just go, oh my gosh, you know, this is overwhelming. What's the solution? What does the church need? What do we need? Well, it's right here. We need to see the Lord. We need to get our eyes on heaven. We need to understand what God has done for us. And that really, that's the key. Let's get into this a little bit. And let's consider God's spiritual blessings that He's given to you and to me. Let's consider this. Starting in verse 4, Paul says He's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And then he begins to talk about some of this. Verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So number one, we see spiritual blessing. What has God done? He has what? Chose us. Very good. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. Before you did good or bad, God chose you. Before you ever were born or existed, God said, I want that one. I want that one. That's called basically God's election of you. And you're like, wow, I don't get that because I'm pretty sure I chose Jesus Christ, you know? Well, you did, but God chose you first. Well, I don't get that. Neither do I. It's true, though. And maybe you're not a believer this morning and you go, well, I don't like that because what if I'm not chosen? Well, choose Christ and then you'll know that you were chosen. I guess. You'll be chosen if you choose Christ. But God chose you. God chose me. And that makes me happy. I mean, why did God choose me? Not because I'm like so good or so great or anything. I'm a pretty mucky guy, if you knew me well. If you knew me like, you know, maybe my wife knows me, or, well, more like if, how God knows me, as he sees my heart and my mind. You know, and frankly, that goes for you guys too, by the way. If you knew your neighbor, you'd probably move a couple of seats away from them. You wouldn't want me up here. But God, who loves us so much, man, he chose us before the foundation of the world. Now notice, continuing on in verse 4, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So he not only chose us, but guess what else he did? He made us holy and blameless. He put like a robe on you of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when you stand before God, you don't stand in your own righteousness. You don't stand. I don't stand by what I've done or what I've earned. What I've earned, frankly, is hell by my own works. But what God has given me, what he's given you who are believers, is the righteousness of Christ. He's made us holy and blameless. Man, I was talking with Chad Retzlaff. I don't know if he's in a service or not, but he was saying, yeah, man, this is great. We were talking about the message, and he goes, we're working from victory and not for victory. And it was like, yes, that's exactly right. We have this victory. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. We're not trying to, you know, work our way up some kind of ladder of good works like every other world religion does. God just takes us and bam, puts us in that position of righteousness. Such good news. This is real. This is real. As real as you are sitting in your seat right now, this is real. You're holy and blameless before the holy, righteous Creator of the universe. Amen? Good news. So, holy and blameless before him. Continuing on. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons or daughters through Jesus Christ. That's verse 5. So another spiritual blessing, he has adopted you. He's adopted you and made you his child. And now you relate to God as a child does to their father, which is so cool. Having a child now, having grace, is just so neat because I just love my daughter so much, you know. And I know you guys who have kids, it's the same thing. There's just this new kind of love in my heart. And yet that's like just a fraction of the love that God has for me. The love that I have for my daughter, his love for me is so much greater because he gave up his son for me. I love my daughter. Now, you all are great. I know I told you how great you all are. You're nice folks. But if it came to a decision between you or my daughter, I'm sorry. I'm picking my daughter. It's like, I love my daughter. I'm not going to let her die for you. I'm sorry. You're nice, but man, I love my daughter. But God's love is such that he did give up his son for us. Wow. And he's adopted us and made us his children. And so now we get to relate to God as a child to the Father. And we get to minister to some Muslims there in Kenya. In our neighborhood, we have some Muslim neighbors. And they're actually nice people. Okay, I used to think that every Muslim wants to cut my head off. Not the case. Not the case at all. A lot of these people, they love their families. They go to work. They work hard to provide, to put food on the table. They're very similar to you in that respect. So they're not all, you know, terrorists. And they love their wives. They love their children. I mean, I was like, whoa, these are like, you know, people like me. Unfortunately, they're totally deceived. And I've been talking with a guy. His name's Hussein. Some of you who get our updates, you're aware of Hussein. Be praying for him. He's a Muslim. He's about 22 years old. And before we came, the day before we left, I got to share the gospel with him, which was really cool. And he received, you know, he was he didn't receive Christ, but he received what I said. And I just hope it's like that rock in his shoe that he can think about it and just be praying that that would implant in his life. But here's the thing. The Muslim people, they have 99 different names for God. You know, Allah the Just, Allah the Merciful, Allah the Creator, you know, so on and so forth. Most of those names, by the way, we would attribute it to our God as well. But here's a big difference. You know the name that isn't there in those 99 different names of for Allah is Father. You won't see that there. Because Allah is harsh, he's tough, he's, you know, ready to judge you. Whereas we relate to God in this childlike manner. It is so awesome that our God has done that for us. So he's adopted us. Let's continue on through this. Stick with me. We read that it's according to the purpose of his will. Pick it up in verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The beloved there is Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with his grace in the beloved. Verse 7. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. That means God has bought us back. He's bought us out of the world. We were in the world. Jesus Christ came to die for us, and he bought us. He redeemed us. And I don't know if you're like depressed this morning or whatever, you know, just blue or low. Hey, God has bought you out of depression and discouragement. He's bought you out of the world and lifted you up and set you on the rock of Jesus Christ in the light of his love. He's redeemed you out of that. There's hope this morning because God has redeemed you through his blood. He's forgiven us of our trespasses, continuing on. Not just our sin, you know, the things that we just kind of fall short in. That's sin, missing the mark, as we know. But a trespass, as Bud shared on Friday night, he said a trespass is when we willingly do something. We know it's wrong. There's the no trespassing sign, and whoop, right over the fence we go, you know. And some of the hunters are like, no, just, you know, don't say that. But yeah, you know, we make that, we trespass, we go over the line, and in whatever arena of our lives, and that's a trespass. Well, God's forgiven that too. It's all covered in his grace. Notice what it says, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. The forgiveness that you and I have is according to God's grace that he's lavished upon us. Your version might talk about which he's caused to abound toward us. When you lavish somebody with something, it's like you give them more than they could ever need of that. You know, you're just lavishing this person. It's like this generous kind of thing where you're giving, giving, giving. And that's what God has done with us. Romans chapter 5 tells us, as Sam's been teaching through Romans, it says, hey, where sin abounded, grace did what? Superabounded. It abounded all the more. It was like this big stack of my sin, and the tidal wave of God's grace came and just whoosh, washed it all away. He's lavished it upon you and I. Hey, remember, these are these spiritual blessings that God has given you this morning. Foundational, critical for your life in Christ. Verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Continuing on in verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In other words, here's God's plan that all things are headed toward the worship of Jesus Christ. Everything on this earth, believe it or not, at the end of it all, it's all headed toward this one thing, God's plan, the exaltation and the worship of His Son, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's where it's all headed. And brothers and sisters, as we kind of get in the flow of what God is doing, exalting His Son, life is going to make more sense. Life is going to go, not necessarily easy in the sense of no trials, but we're going to find our purpose on this earth as we just get right in the flow of what God's already doing, exalting His Son. So that's what's going on here. That's God's plan. This is what God has done. Verse 11, in Him, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. That speaks about heaven. This inheritance that we have, heaven. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Latch on to that last phrase there, if you would. Think about that. Particularly those of us who are going through that hard time. God is working all things, not just some things, but all things, no matter what is going on in your life, good, bad, ugly, no matter what, God's working all things according to the counsel of His will. This is what we call really the God's sovereignty. That you and I as believers, we're right there in God's hand. He's got us right in the palm of His hand. And even if the world seems like spinning out of control and our kingdom is just all messed up and crumbling down, all our hopes and dreams even. No matter what, God's got you right there. And Romans 8:28 tells us that He's working all things for good, isn't it? All things for good. That is especially precious in times of difficulty. I know some of you are aware. We wrote about it in our update. But we were expecting a child. And we were excited, And in August, Noelle was about 3 months along, and we lost a baby. And I know some of you ladies, you couples out there who've experienced that, it's hard. It's difficult. You have all kinds of questions, and you wonder why. How does this work, What is God doing in all this? Well, He's working all things according to the counsel of His will. And His plans for me are good and not evil. So I know God has got a good purpose in this. God has got a good reason for this. And it might not be on this earth, but in heaven I know that I'll look at the Lord and say, You are good, You are wise, and You do all things well. I know. And no matter what you have experienced in your life, God is able to work it for good, to build you up and make you more like Christ through it all. What an amazing promise. What an amazing truth that we have here this morning. All things according to the counsel of His will. Moving on in verse 12. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So God sealed us. When we came to faith in Christ, God sent His Spirit inside of us to dwell in us and to seal us. That is, to confirm us. Signed, sealed, delivered, man. We are God's. We are His. The Holy Spirit has put His stamp upon us. We belong to the Lord. And we read in verse 14, He is the guarantee of our inheritance, the Spirit of God. It's like a down payment that, yes, this is a child of God. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Well, marvelous. Wonderful truth, isn't it? It's good stuff. And now Paul moves into a prayer. After he's just like overloaded us with all these things that God has done for us and to us, he's gone from eternity past to present to eternity future. It's like this scope of all these blessings that God has given us. Now Paul moves into a prayer. And this prayer is really for enlightenment, that we would have understanding, a greater understanding of what God has done. That it wouldn't just be a head kind of knowledge, but an experiential knowledge. That we would experience these things. That we would have the eyes of our heart opened up to really receive it. So Paul goes on here in verse 15 and begins with this prayer. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And this is kind of cool, because the Ephesians were doing pretty good, it seems. We don't really see any correction in the book. And Paul's just stoked. He's saying, man, you guys are having faith in Christ and loving one another, so I'm going to pray for you. Which is kind of funny, because usually I pray for people when they're doing bad. You know, it's like, oh man, my dog died and lost my job. Oh, let me pray for you, brother. You know, but no, hey, these people were doing good. And so Paul says, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Notice there's four things. If you want to jot these down, I know I always remember things better if I write them down. Four things, four requests that we're going to go through pretty quickly here regarding this prayer. Four things that God wants for you this morning. And they all have to deal with knowledge or knowing something. And again, not just the head knowledge, but an experiential kind of knowledge. Four things, and I'll just tell them to you real fast. Number one, knowing God intimately. Number two, knowing the hope of His calling. Number three, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And number four, knowing the greatness of His power. We'll go over these real fast here. I wish we could spend more time. We only have three more hours, so we'll just really try quickly to get through. All right, just kidding. Verse 17. Stick with me. Verse 17, first request about knowing God intimately. "This is my prayer," Paul says, "for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of," what? "Him." That is, the Lord wants you and I to know Himself. That is, God wants you to know Him. What God has given you, what He's blessed you with, is primarily Himself. We love God because of who He is, and He has given Himself to us. He wants us to know Him. This word here, knowledge, is I won't even try to speak about it in Greek, because I'm not a Greek person or understand the language. But essentially, it's this idea of experiencing something by knowing it. I can tell you a lot about Kenya, all these facts and stuff, but until you go there with me and we travel around and we see it and experience it, we smell it, we taste it, that's when you'll really start to know more. And that's what God wants for you and for me. Not just some kind of intellectual assent in our minds about facts of who God is, but really spending time with Him daily, walking with Him moment by moment, you see. As that takes place in our lives, we're going to grow. We're going to become more like Christ. Man, that the Lord would give you this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Himself, in knowing Him. Would you know Him more? Having the eyes, verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. That is, you know, revelation in your heart. Now, your translation might say the eyes of your understanding. Another translation would say the eyes of your heart. Again, not something taking place necessarily in your heads, but in your heart this morning. God wants to open up the eyes of your heart to see Him afresh and anew, to experience Him more. We put a lot of emphasis in the West on education, which is good. But you know, the guys in my class who can't even read, that doesn't mean that they can't know God or know Him any less. They can know Him as well as I can or more, because it's an issue primarily of our hearts as we relate to the Lord. So, the eyes of your hearts being enlightened to know God. Number two, notice with me, verse 18. That you might know what is the hope to which He has called you. So first, God wants you to know Himself. First prayer request, know God intimately. Second prayer request, know the hope of His calling. What is this speaking of? Well, it's this, that someday, brother and sister, we are going to stand before Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Him face to face. We'll see the nail marks in His hands and the scars on His body that speak of His love. We're going to look at Him face to face. And we are going to know Him as well as He knows me and you perfectly. That's the hope of our calling. That's why heaven is so good, is because Jesus is there. The hope of our calling. Seeing Him there. All of us might have different callings in life specifically. But corporately, we all have this in common. Those of us who are believers, we are going to see our Savior face to face. And I pray we all hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's the hope of our calling today. Amen? So, we got to know that. We got to set our minds on things which are above, not on the earth, as Colossians 3:2 says. Let's lift up our eyes and see these things. They're real. It's a reality. May your heart just soak this in. And as we get this, as we enjoy these things, as we get to know them more, you know, the new thing, the new iPod or, you know, whatever, iPad, that thing, you know, it's cool. I like Mac and stuff. That's great. But you know what? It's like, it's so temporal. It's so passing. It's so fleeting. God is so much better. And the hope that we have is so much deeper and richer than the passing pleasures of this life. No comparison. So, the hope of His calling. Moving on, and this one is going to blow your mind. This one, I had to look in a few commentaries to make sure I was right on this one, because it's just like, I don't get it. But it's amazing. Notice verse 18, the hope to which He has called you. And the last part of the verse, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in what? The saints. Time out. Wait a second. Are you saying that God's glorious inheritance is you and I? Yes. I don't get it. In other words, it's like God says, of all the things in the universe, I want you. What's your name? Elijah. I want Elijah. All right. Well, God said that. You can thank Him. But you seem like a cool guy, too. I mean, I want Jacob Klebe. What? Really? Are you sure, Lord? Because I'm just like, I'm a grimy guy, you know? I fail. I fall short daily. Lord, what is it? Well, it's just His great love. That's all it is. I mean, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's longer than any of us can comprehend. That we are God's prize. That it's like He sent His Son to die in your place to buy you for Himself, to inherit you. If you really get a grip on that this morning, if I get a grip on it, you'll never say something like, well, if God loved me, then why? You wouldn't say that. Because you know of His great love, that He has made you His bride, the bride of Christ. He's made you His prized possession. What He values in the universe is you. I don't get it. I don't get it because I know me. But that's what God's Word says to us. You won't have a problem with self-esteem, though, if you want to put it that way. We really shouldn't esteem self. I'm not going to get into that, but self-worth, you know, how you value yourself, how you think about yourself, you won't have a problem with it because you know what God's Word has to say about it, and He loves you, and He treats you as a prized possession. You think about yourself that way, you won't have a problem with self-esteem or those issues. Let it soak into your heart. Believe what God has to say in His Word about you, not about what your own thoughts say or what the rest of the world says. Believe what God's Word says. Amen. So, that you would know the glorious inheritance that God has in the saints. We are His glorious inheritance. Beautiful. Wonderful truth. So, that's the third thing that we need to know. In the final thing here, picking it up in verse 19. Follow with me. Stick with me. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe? According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Okay. That was a lot, I know. It's all one sentence. But there's a lot in there that's good. But I want to draw your attention just to that first part. What is the immeasurable greatness of His power, of God's power, toward you and me? This great power that God has given us. This is the fourth thing that we need to know this morning. Number one, we need to know God more intimately. Number two, we need to know the hope of His calling. Number three, we need to know that we are God's prize. And number four, we need to know the immeasurable greatness that of God's power that He's made available to us. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? If somebody came into Enlow Hospital and went into the hospital rooms and started just, boom, healing people, boof, 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 and people are walking out of the hospital, and you're just like, whoa! You go up to that guy, and you say, man, you know, this is amazing. Would you pray for me? I'm not sick, but I'm struggling with sin, you know? I'm struggling with this issue. You would know that guy can pray for you and that there's power in that. Why? Because he's raising people from the dead. If he can raise people from the dead, surely he can help you with the sin that you're struggling with. That's how it is with Christ. He's been raised from the dead. So there is no issue in our lives that is too great for us. No sin this morning that is too great. No temptation too great that God has not given you a way to overcome it. Those of you, perhaps this morning, struggling with sin. There was a particular sin in my life that I struggled with for like 10 or 12, I don't know, years, long time. But you know what? God can give us the power to overcome. And here's the deal. It's available to us this morning. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, you have it in you, in Christ. Not in yourself, not in and of yourself, but in the Lord Jesus. He's made it available to you. Notice real quickly, as we close with this, Paul does not pray, Lord, set them free. He prays this, Lord, help them to see they already are free. He doesn't say, Lord, help them to overcome. He says, Lord, help them to see that they already have the victory. Help them to see what they already have. Remember verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's made it available to you. This is what we need. This is what you and I need this morning. This is what Kenya needs. To see this truth of God's word. To know God. To know His love. To know the hope of our calling. To know His inheritance that He has in us. And to know the power that He's made available to us. For life and for godliness. Good news, huh? Well, thank you guys. Why don't we all stand as we conclude. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, this sounds kind of interesting. It sounds like good news. All this is pretty good stuff. Some pretty amazing blessings. Sounds like a pretty amazing God. But you don't know Him personally. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while. I don't know. But here's the deal. There is an opportunity right now for you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That He came, He died for your sins, and rose again. And by faith in Him, you too can be saved from your sin and enjoy all these blessings. And enjoy God Himself. If you are here this morning, you've never made that commitment to Christ. Would you? Is something going on in your heart? That's the work of the Holy Spirit drawing you. If you're getting a little agitated or nervous, that's probably because the Spirit of God is knocking on your heart saying, come, I love you. I sent my Son to die for you. Come, be forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that we see here. So awesome. I pray you'd bless my brothers and sisters. Encourage them with this truth. May they too just be set free, Lord. May they experience you more and see the love that you have. And I do pray, is there anyone here this morning who would want to make that commitment to Christ? Simply raise your hand to indicate you would like to follow Jesus Christ. Anyone here this morning wants to follow Jesus for the first time, make that decision. Anyone at all, simply raise your hand to show that you want to put your faith in Christ. Anyone at all this service this morning? Well, Lord, we look for hands, but you see the hearts of all. So I do pray you would work in and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. God bless you guys.